Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Liston Delaney. So what?
It's the latest episode of the Twits Odyssey. We're now at the stage where we're at the back of the book. We've done the story and we're going through the, the bonus features, as you'd call them, if it was a DVD.
Yeah.
There's all sorts here. We're at the section where it's a double page called Meet Quentin Blake. And there's a nice picture at the top of the page there, which Quentin Blake has done himself, of himself, and he's got slightly hunched back, let's say. And he stood next to a fucking giant, who I assume is Roald Dahl, standing there with his hand in his pocket like a cunt. And Roald Dahl is... They're at a table, and I think that's...
There's a couple of glasses of wine on the go, I can't help but notice.
And Roald Dahl is explaining... There's some sheets of paper on the table, so there must be some pages from the next book, and Roald is explaining what's going on, and there's a speech bubble, and it's full of... a giraffe, which I think is the giraffe that Roald himself hired from the gypsies earlier in the series. And there's a stork, I think, and a monkey. So it's like, this is what's in the next book, right? There's a giraffe with a massive cock and balls. There's a stork and there's a monkey with a curly tail. So
is it a stork or is it a pelican? It's one of them.
Oh, it's a pelican.
It's a fucking bird. And it's, or it could be a crane. No, cranes are different. It's one of them birds that's got a big fucking, like, bucket for a mouth. So I need you to draw one of them.
Yeah. It could be any kind. Yeah. So finish your wine and fuck off.
Right. Now, I've noticed that on some of the books, the drawing's fine, the colouring in leaves something to be desired, Quentin. You are going over the lines, left, right and centre. Now, don't give me any of this shit you gave me last time about that being your style, right? It's not your style. Yeah, your style is fucking lazy. It's sloppy. I want all colouring.
You said it was quirky.
And that is why I couldn't pay your full invoice before, mate. I told you, I'll be straight with you. I'm not 40% off.
It's not fucking quirky, Quentin. It's fucking slapdash. That's what it is. So, either make a fucking effort with the colouring in or
get some other cunt to do
it. Odds. It's up to you.
Okay, I could get any cunt to do these. Now,
I could
bring up fucking Pablo Picasso himself and get him to do them, right? So think about that next time you fucking send off this kind of shabby shite, because kids pick up on it. And who's the one who ends up looking the cunt? Me, Muggins here. Because it's my name on the front of the book, not yours.
Between me and you, Picasso did do some on spec. He sent them in. They were a fucking shambles. So it was meant to be Danny the Champion of the World, and it was just a fucking couple of squares over the top of each other. And he went over the fucking lines as well, the cunt.
Yeah, I mean, he's through the looking glass, that bastard. Well, that's the Spanish for you. I tell you, I tried to get him to draw the fucking BFG, and it came back. It was a big fat lass, right? Oh, it was disgusting. I said, no, completely wrong. He said, let's have another crack. I said, no, I've seen enough. No way.
it's Quentin Blake. And Roald Dahl has furnished him with a quote for this page. And it says, the finest illustrator of children's books in the world today, ! And that really feels like it's from the heart, doesn't it?
Yeah. What, you want a quote? Fine. All right, just say he's like the best children's illustrator in the world. Do an exclamation
Reword
mark at the
if
end.
You want.
Because that'll be a little Reword wink to people as if to say, if you know I'm taking the piss, right?
Dripping with sarcasm, that is. And it says, Roald Dahl and Quentin Blake make a perfect partnership of words and illustrations. But when Roald started writing, he had many different illustrators. Ooh.
Mm. I had Quentin loads. Started...
yeah.
Truth be told, Quentin was the cheapest.
Quentin started working with him in 1976. The first book he illustrated was The Enormous Crocodile, published in 1978. What? 2 years?
Wow.
Yeah. I want you to do this crocodile, but the cunt's not coming out for another couple of years, so there's no rush. They'll give you time to get it right, I suppose.
I made him draw that crocodile, because I like, especially when people first start working with me, I like to put them to the test. I made him draw that crocodile over 1,000 times over the course of 2 years, till he got it right. And just to play a bit of mind game with him, to show him who was boss, in the end, do you know what one I used? The first fucking one he'd drawn. And I never explained myself either. I just said, I like that one. And I could see he wanted to say something, but end of the day, he knew which side his fucking bread was buttered, so he kept stum and he took the money.
In fact, his eyes were fucking welling up. It was very funny.
Well, that's Quentin for you. He's never going to be the alpha. He's never, in any room, he'll never be the alpha male in any situation.
I mean, look, he's a foot and a half shorter than I am, so, you know, there's no chance of him taking control in this relationship.
Yeah.
It says Quentin ended up illustrating all of Roald Dahl's books with the exception of the Minpins.
He was
not
good at
them. Explain why he didn't do the Minpins. I've never heard of the Minpins.
Best left unsaid. But let's just say there was a lot of
reasons.
There were fucking reasons surrounding that. A lot of them I'm still legally obliged not to discuss. Fucking Minpins. In fact, you know what? Don't even mention the Minpins in my presence again.
I've bought up all the copies. I've had them pulped.
It was a black episode in my otherwise fucking sparkling career.
Let's just say it was a misstep.
It was like when the Beatles did fucking Octopus's Garden.
Let's just say that some of my more controversial opinions came to the forefront in the bin pins, and it had to be withdrawn from sale.
It was like when, I mean, I always felt for Eric Clapton when he got up and said all them things about the immigrants, you know. And to be honest, he was saying what a lot of folk were thinking, but he got strung up for it. So I took inspiration from the old episode, and that's where the Minpins came from. Funnily enough, I was spending a lot of time with Slowhand during that era. He used to come and meet me at the Feathers. And we discussed it a lot. He had his own input to the Minpins, but no, I just think society wasn't ready for it. Maybe one day it will be.
History is always evolving. That's all I'm saying. And certain opinions that are forbidden at the moment, you know, might become fashionable again at some point in the future.
You just don't know.
Not for me to say. But all I'm saying is I've got a lock-up somewhere on the outskirts of London, and there's 30,000 copies of the Minpins in there.
And Clapton, if he thinks he's getting 10% of the fucking profit, he can think again, because that deal was made when I'd been drinking heavily in the Feathers all afternoon, and he fucking tricked me into that.
I now need to look up the Minpins and see what it is. It's a book by Roald Dahl with illustrations by Patrick Benson. It was published in 1991, a few months after Dahl's death in November 1990, and is the author's final contribution to literature. So why the fuck did Blake not do it? It was republished in 2017 under the title Billy and the Minpins with new illustrations by Quentin Blake. Oh, there's been some kind of legal wrangle there, I think, hasn't
Blake's
there?
Fucking moved in. He's been dead long enough. This reminds me exactly of when McCartney quit the Beatles. And John Lennon took it upon himself to get Phil Spector to mix Let It Be.
Tart up Let It Be, yeah.
Someone said ruin
Let It Be.
And McCartney didn't like it. One of the reasons he didn't like it was because they had that sort of girl choir on, was it Long and Winding Road? And he was like, we didn't have girls in the band. We had a boy band. And
Be for Beatles.
Yeah. I've got no problem with women, of course. I've got a couple of daughters. But but it just wasn't, didn't feel nice at the time. But John, yeah, this feels like that, doesn't it? Like last album and then, syndrome. Of course,
and then McCartney oversaw Let It Be Naked, which was kind of the original mix, which they put out again in 2010 or something, I don't know. So this is Blake has got his hands on the minpins after
I came up
death.
With the idea when me and some buddies had gone down. We'd had a few drinks and we'd decided to go and throw hamburgers at David Blaine, the magician. And it was when we were through, we'd stopped at Burger King and I've got a flaming whopper to throw them. And as I threw it, it stuck to his plastic box that the daft cunt was hanging in. And it was at that exact moment I turned to my pal and I said, this is the best fun I've had in years. You know what I should do? Re-release Let It Be, but my own version, with all John's shite stripped out. I'm Paul McCartney. I can do anything. And that's how it happened. So I've got David Blaine to thank.
So it's Little Billy is forbidden by his mother to do a lot of things, including entering the forest of sin behind his house. Mm. Fucking hell. He wasn't hanging about at this point, was he? He was close to death, and he's going, "I'll just call it the fucking Forest of Sin."
Oh, I call it Forest
of Sin. There's all sorts of mad shit going on in there. As Billy's mother,
it's based on the woods near me, where fucking grotesque things go on, and I know because, to my shame, I have been involved in some of them. After throwing out time at the feathers, people head to the woods, and there's weird things that go on in them woods.
Over the back of the car park of the feathers, there's these woods, and it all happens in there after about 11:30. So
you see some fucking weird shit.
In the Forest of Sin, she tells him of the Wangdoodle, Hornswogglers, Snozwanglers. They're all words from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, aren't they?
He's fucking, he's just recycling stuff.
And the Vermicious Knids. Yeah, that's all Charlie and the Chocolate Factory stuff. I can hear Gene Wilder's voice saying all them words.
Yeah.
Worst of all is the terrible blood-suckling, tooth-pluckling, stone-chuckling spittler who chases his prey while clouds of hot red smoke pour out of his nose and then swallows them up in one gulp. Fucking hell. What age group is this for? 23-year-olds?
I mean, Roald Dahl's books are pretty scary, aren't they? I mean, The Witches, when I first read The Witches, I shat myself. Well, I didn't shit myself, but like, I was scared. And in fact, there's a film of it out at the moment, isn't there? But I've been a bit too scared to watch it.
Pluck up the courage. It's Christmas.
Yeah, I'll give it a go.
Deep fry some stuff and then sit down and eat that and watch it at the same time. So there's some people living in a tree called the Minpins. The leader of the Minpins, Don Minnie, mafia, tells little Billy that the monster waiting under the tree is not the Spittler, which the Minpins have never heard of, but it's actually the red-hot smoke-belching Gruncher who grunches up everything in the forest. Yeah, I don't know. This seems like a very thin publication. I don't think we'll be covering that.
Yeah, he's chucked it out last minute. The way I see it, right, I've got, at best, 6 months. Right, fine. I've had a fucking right good laugh, and to be honest, I'm bored. So I'm not summing out. I don't even know what I'll call it. Fucking who cares? The Minpins. How about that? And I'll say it all in them woods, out by the feathers. We'll knock it out quick, and you just put it against the fucking free bar at my funeral. Simple.
I think Patrick Benson, who illustrated it, might have been a mate from the pub, and he's done him a favour. In the same way that George Michael gave Andrew Ridgeley co-writing credits on Careless Whisper.
On Last Christmas.
That he was going to pack the group in.
I'll do your favour.
Andrew Ridgeley would never have to work again.
I'll do your favour. Can you draw? What? Can you draw? Yes or no? Well, not really. I mean, I did a little bit of drawing.
Wrong answer. Try again. Can you draw?
Put it this way. Can you draw better than this? Hold on. I've got a copy of it here somewhere. Look at that. Shit. Look, he goes over the lines. Can't colour in nothing. Can you do something as good or better than that? Yes, of course you can. Don't even answer. We all know the answer. Right. You're doing... Now... I'm going to give you a word, and I need you to go off and scribble down some first thoughts. The word is minpins.
What?
Just write fucking it down. Draw it.
M-I-N-P-I-N-S. Minpins.
Trust me. you want to cash in on this now, you cunt, because I'm in a good mood, right? I might not be tomorrow. This is an opportunity for you. Grasp it. It's like when Mike Ashley promised that bloke £1 million when they were in the pub pissed out of their head. Do you remember that?
I don't know.
No, it was a big court case when Mike Ashley was like in the press loads a couple of years ago because he'd been up to some fucking nonsense.
That was when he threw up in a fireplace, wasn't it?
Yeah.
During a drinking session, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He invited the guy down. He said, if you can, I think it was something like, if you can increase our profits by X amount in the next 2 years, I will just give you £1 million, right?
Right.
And the geezer's gone, fine. And then he didn't. And so the bloke took him to court. But the story of how the offer was made was so fucking insane that you just sort of thought, I just thought about the bloke, fucking hell, mate, you're the mug for taking it seriously. He was that yeah. paralytic that he kept crawling under the table, throwing up yeah. in the fireplace. Yeah. He was off his fucking tits. If someone in a situation like that does a deal with you and offers you £1 million, just don't fucking take it seriously.
Yeah. I mean, that's now statute in law, isn't it? If someone throws up in the fireplace during yeah. a business meeting, everything within that meeting is null and void.
I'm not sure it's a statute, but it is a precedent that all judges will cite.
Is that what it is? Something like that, yeah.
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 They'll go, look, yeah. There is a precedent now. There are several.
Fireplace precedent. Yeah.
Yeah. Invoke the fireplace precedent. Because so many deals are done in that context that,
yeah,
you know, they're null and void. I mean, you know, Timbrell would talk you through that. No problem. Or Castellani.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think this Minpins illustration deal was done on a similar basis as well. So that's probably why Quentin Blake got to illustrate the republish of it in 2017.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Jalapeño.
Back of the book, it says, to begin with, Quentin was a bit nervous about working with such a very famous author. Fucking grow up. You fucking, don't be fucking intimidated by any cunt. If you believe in yourself and you think you're good enough, then you can be up against anyone.
But what if you don't think you're good enough?
Fucking go home.
What if he went to the meeting thinking, fuck me, I hope he doesn't test me on colouring. I'm fine when it comes to the just drawing. But if he tests me colouring, I'm fucked.
And he came out of the meeting thinking, I cannot believe he did not even mention colouring. I've got
it's
away with
ironic,
this.
It's fucking ironic, because that's the thing I'd been prepping for days. Didn't even come up. That's what he told his wife when he got home.
So Quentin's got the same voice as Roald Dahl, has he?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That voice.
It didn't even come up. It didn't come up, you know, darling. Was he a nice man? Well, I...
He was loud. Very loud.
He was quite... Maybe aggressive isn't quite the word, but he was certainly a very bold and confident man.
Forceful. He threw up in the fireplace at one point. I've never seen anyone do that in a pub before.
And he announced that he was about to do it by saying to me, watch this.
And he rested his hand on the fireplace itself and then just vomited right into the fire.
And then afterwards, he looked me in the eye, and there was all bits of spittle and dribble down his chin there. And he looked, and he grinned at me, and he said, "Did you like that?"
He said, "Look at that! I've put the fucker out
with my sick." Well, he sounds quite unconventional. Yes, I think that is the word, darling. Unconventional.
But that's how it is sometimes with creative types. By the time they collaborated on the BFG, they'd become firm friends. Quentin never knew anything about a new story until the manuscript arrived. You'll have some fun with this, Roald would say. Or you'll have some trouble with this. Brilliant. Quentin would make lots of rough drawings to take along to Gypsy House. Is this Dahl's house? Is that where he lives? Gypsy House?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Because I bought it off a gypsy. That's why it's called Gypsy House. I won it off a gypsy in a bet.
In a bare knuckle fight in the car park of the Feathers.
He never thought, he didn't see it coming. But he didn't know I've been trained the Norwegian way. But that's Viking fighting, that is.
He would take lots of rough drawings along the Gypsy House where he would show them to Roald and see what he thought. I don't fucking know, mate. I ain't got a clue. I'm a words man. This just looks like gobbledygook to me.
Fucking nonsense. But whatever. Fine. What I like about them is they're quite big, so they fill up more space on the page. Less words for me, see? That's what I like about you, Quentin. Nice big drawings. Some of these cops try and get away with just doing tiny little ones.
Quentin ended up doing twice as many pictures for the BFG as he'd originally been asked for. These are good, Quentin. Can you do more? Because I've got fuck all in the way of a story. And I've got 90 pages to fill.
Well, I don't quite know what else I'd draw. Well, fucking read what I've written. Just do the BFG. He doesn't have to always... You don't have to take it literally, Quentin. I've told you. He doesn't always have to be doing stuff that I've described. Imagine other things that he could be doing and just draw it.
I'll tell you what, right, if you feel like drawing anything at all, you just add it into the text. So if you want to draw the giant putting his boots on, you just fucking put it in with pencil. The giant put his boots on. I don't mind.
And then, you know, we're both winners. You see what I mean? Because you get another drawing in there, right? And I fill up more of the pages. Because I've done a very unique deal with my publisher. Well, I get paid per the page. Not all authors get that, but because I am who I am, I did a by-the-page payment deal.
This is great, this next bit. Quentin Blake's favourite Roald Dahl book is the BFG. When he wasn't quite sure what the BFG's footwear would look like, Roald actually sent one of his old sandals through the post to Quentin, and that's what he drew.
Yeah, funnily enough, that was actually a misunderstanding. I sent him the sandal... Because that in Norway, that is actually a threat, right? It's an ancient Viking threat, right? If you send someone one of your sandals, it means, listen, cunt, you're on thin ice, right? And the eye of death is upon you.
It's a bit related to that thing they do in the Middle East, you know, when they throw shoes at people.
It's like that.
It's like that. It's related to
Norway,
that.
In Norway, it is the deepest sign of disrespect you can give. So I'd had these phone calls from Quentin saying, I'm struggling with the giant's footwear, and it was driving me round the bend. And I was like, listen, cunt, you're the fucking drawer here. Fucking think of it. I don't give a fuck what he wears. And he would not fucking shut up. So in the end, I've lost it. I thought, right, I'm going to have to motivate this cunt. I'll send him a sandal in the post, right? And he'll fucking know that unless he gets his act together, pulls his finger out and draws some fucking shoes, right, then he is a dead man. The silly cunt thought it was a fucking visual reference. Sends me back a picture of BFG wearing a pair of fucking sandals. I thought
James
he was taking the piss.
James fucking sandals? What the fuck?
I thought he was taking a piss at first, but whatever. Sometimes these things happen by happy chance.
And then there's a little bit more about Quentin Blake. It says, Quentin Blake was born on 16th of December 1932. So he's still around, isn't he? He's still alive, so that would make him.
Well, we sort of got in contact with him, didn't we, at one point?
No,
we
looked at his website. We wanted
to contact him, but his website had a slightly hostile tone to it.
He pretty much said, do not attempt to contact Mr. Blake under any circumstances.
Fuck off.
It was very Ringo Starr, wasn't it?
Yeah. Fuck off, I'm not interested.
No more stuff. Don't send any more stuff to get signed, because it's going to get tossed.
I've had it off to here with all the stuff being sent over.
Quentin Blake was 16th of December, so his birthday soon, so many happy returns, Quentin, if you're listening to this. His first drawing was published when he was 16, and he has written and illustrated many of his own books, as well as Roald Dahl's. Besides being an illustrator, he taught for over 20 years at the Royal College of Art. He is a real professor.
Wow.
Fancy that. But I mean, he used to do, he did Jack and Ori. I don't know if this is before your time or not, Sam, but he used to do Jack and Ori where he would tell a story and draw the cunt at the same time.
Yeah, I like that.
Which was good. I enjoyed that when I was a kid.
Well, that's a, you know, did you see friend of the pod, Tom Bradshaw, fantastic yeah. illustrator? He did a draw-along of the Elton John Arsene Wenger event the other night.
Yeah.
And Elton John fucking tweeted him back.
Yeah, I saw that. Big moment. I felt proud of that. That felt like that was our victory more than Tom's, yeah. really. Because well, we're the wind beneath Tom Bradshaw's wings, really, aren't we? We made him.
We were within a whisker of making contact with Sir Elton John a year ago. But we blew were. It yeah. because he didn't like... Because apparently he is... really anti people doing impressions of him in the style that we do the impressions of him.
Yeah.
So we blew it. But now Bradshaw's got it, so fine.
Well, the thing is about Elton, if lots of people are doing that voice or that impression, then there's got to be something in it. So, you know, fucking change your ways, Elton.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bradshaw's lost to us now. Actually, he sent us an email asking about whether he should go freelance or not. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was a Life Logistics email that we didn't get around to answering.
It was.
I mean, our answer is going to be geared entirely around how this affects us, because he helps us out on projects sometimes, doesn't he?
Well, I think it's a roundabout way of him saying that he wants us to pay him for what he does, or pay him more.
Pay him more.
Which isn't going to happen, obviously.
So you're saying stick to the day job, mate.
Stick to the day job. Oh, do a fucking Patreon. See how far that gets you. They're all at it these days.
Look, mate, you're going to be... If you play your cards right, you'll be Elton John's personal fucking illustrator before long.
Yeah.
Right, but fuck knows what goes on around this gaff. Right, if he's got you round there... I want you to just draw me and David going about our business. So everything is recorded in illustration form. You're going to have to live here 24/7 drawing everything, even us when we're asleep.
I want you to draw David at the deep fat fryer and me sitting at the dinner table with my knife and fork in my hand, ready for
waiting
my dumplings.
Waiting for my chips. Someone, Nigel Adderley, the football commentator, very good football commentator, I think he listens to the show because he tweeted me and was saying, well, I was talking about the Elton John Arsene Wenger thing, and he tweeted and said, oh, yeah. Or maybe he tweeted the show, I can't remember, but he used to work with Graham Taylor.
All right, yeah.
And, you know, when Graham Taylor was doing the co-coms, and he said he used to tell him loads of great stories about Elton John. And, you know, like the story that I think I mentioned on the show the other day that Elton John told on the thing with Wenger was that, like, he bought the club, he wanted the best manager. And everyone said the best manager was Graham Taylor at Lincoln City. But West Brom had offered him a job in the first division. So Elton got him over to that big fancy room that we saw him sat in at the event and sat Graham Taylor down and said, I want you, fuck West Brom, I want you to manage us. This is like when Elton John was the world's number one most famous pop star and was dressed like a fucking maniac, right? You know? Yeah. Fucking feather headdress, probably, and like, you know, big platform boots and all the rest
glasses
of it.
In the shape of stars.
And Graham Taylor's there, like, oh, do you see Elton? It's a big departure for me, Elton, right? And he's gone, and apparently he said to him to try and sober the sort of conversation and give Elton a dose of reality. He went, Elton, even if I agreed to do this, the sort of money it would cost you to get this club from where it is now in the fourth division to the first division in the time you want to do it would cost an astounding sum of money. And Elton went, how much? And he went, it would be beyond what is humanly possible for a club of this size. And he went, how much? So Graham Taylor's gone, £1 million, because this was in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
So it would be like, say, I don't know, like 100 million. He goes, it would cost you £1 million, Elton. And apparently Elton just went, cash your check, mate. And yeah, that is, I mean, course, such a great story, because that is how much Elton John loves his football club. He's like, yeah, I don't give a shit. I'm making all this money from singing my songs. I'll give as much of it as I need to turn this tiny local football club into a top flight team. Fucking yeah, amazing.
And he did it. Brilliant. So Quentin Blake's a professor. He was the Children's Laureate in 1999. And 2005, he was awarded the CBE for services to children's literature. That's the end of the Quentin Blake page. It says find out more at quentinblake.com, but do not attempt to contact Mr. Blake under any
circumstances. If you want to go on the website, you can, but I'd discourage it.
Mm-hmm. I'm turning the page and it says at the top, a day in the life of Roald Dahl. And that is where we're going to leave it for now. So next week, look forward to that, a day in the life of Roald Dahl. What could be better?
Well, we've heard quite a lot about how he spends the day, but the thing is, there is no average day, is there, for Roald Dahl?
There's not. Every day
is there's not a system. Every day is completely different to the last. That is what the day in the life of Roald Dahl is, really. Unpredictable. And that is what I thrive on.
I haven't said that. I'm normally in the feathers by 11:15, but every day is pretty much different once I'm in there.
Once I get in there, you don't know what's going to happen. That's what's great about the feathers and the way that, I mean, I say it's got nothing to do with feathers. I could go anywhere and it would be the same. I could go to any pub. I like the feathers because
I could go down the Golden Lion if I wanted, but, you know, it's not the same.
There was an issue with the landlord there who is, well, he's a bit of a con, but
I'm not entirely sure if I'm welcome or not. I'd have to go in and find out, and I'm not that fussed.
I know, but I'm happy at the feathers. It's this decent pub. They do the Thai food now, which I like, because he's married. He came back from holiday with that little wife of his, and she's fine. She's absolutely no problem at all, right? And I like that. I'll have my spring rolls, few beers, and then it all depends on who comes in and out of the pub during those hours that I am there. Conversations start, things happen, incidents arise, and it's just a magical mystery tour.
Friendships are formed, friendships are broken. Yeah. Every day's different.
You go out the back, next thing you don't know that night whether you're just going to get home, put a meal in the microwave and watch, like, Holby City, or you might find yourself coming rocking up home, buying a fucking giraffe off a gypsy off the back of a fucking pickup truck. And you can't even remember why or how you got there. That's life. That's the beauty and the magic of life.
That's the life of a storyteller. That's where a lot of my stories come from, real life. They say write about what you know, so I do.
I try to get to know as many things as possible because then it gives me options. Every day.
Who do you think the big friendly giant is? It's me, you cunt.
You wake up in the morning and I'm on a mission. Every morning I'm on a mission. And you know what the mission is? It's a mission for experience. Because experience is the lifeblood of a storyteller. So I make it my business to experience experiences as much as possible every day.
But mostly in the feathers.
Yeah, but best place to find them, from my experience.
All human life is there, and giraffes. Right, we'll do that next week then. A day in the life of Roald Dahl. That's it from this one. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.